Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio.
Wasn't Timothy Chalamet that was in the lawsuits Justin Baldoni with Blake Lively?
Oh, okay.
That's who I was mixing that up
with. Okay. All right, very good.
Sorry about that.
How'd you get that mixed up?
I very rarely like peruse that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was 3, 4, 5 weeks ago that story was out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I ran into Ryan Reynolds on the street.
By the way, that was definitely confirmed because he was walking around there, saw like a Page Six thing.
Okay.
It's probably the day that you saw him.
Yeah.
He was all over the place down in Tribeca.
Right, yeah.
Did you ask him about it, Baldoni?
No, I did not.
Hey, what about this Baldoni thing?
I told you, we walked past each other. Yeah. I looked at him, he looked at me. He didn't know whether I was Phil Simms or not. I have no idea. So,
okay. All right. I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah, I did. I just wanted to make sure because, sometimes
people get upset with those things.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Especially that kind of thing.
That kind of thing for sure.
I don't want to get Timothy Chalamet and Kardashian in trouble. Chloe, is that his?
No. Kylie Jenner.
Kylie Jenner. Isn't that part of the Kardashian clan?
Yes. Yes, she is. She is. So, Mikal Bridges, 51 minutes last night of intense basketball. And sometimes you still get frustrated with him. I feel like he's clanging these threes more often than he's making them. But his defense was unbelievable. His energy level was unbelievable. He hits that three in overtime. So much pressure on him because of all the picks that were given up. He has not really hit the ceiling we were looking for. But last night, even though, it's not like he scored 45 points, but last night,
51 minutes, man,
he was as crucial as anybody in that basketball game. And he really earns every bit of praise this morning.
I'll say that you can understand why those guys at Villanova won 2 national championships.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I pointed out Josh Hart, those early rebounds where he was getting back-to-back offensive rebounds on the same possession.
Yeah.
And you could just see he's the smallest guy on the court, and he's going up there getting rebounds. And they all want to play. The NBA has received an enormous amount of criticism over the last 20 years about rest days, taking days off. And then, of course, Tibbs gets criticized for playing his guys too much. And we sit here as fans and try to go pinballing back and forth between the two thoughts. And I'm like, man, I want the guys to play. And the one thing about the Villanova guys, they want to play. They want to be on the court. So you got to respect that.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried about Josh Hart as he was grabbing that hand when he got that steal late in the game. And he ended up missing a free throw. He kind of looked a little bit off. And he was sort of kept grabbing the right wrist. But he stayed in the game. Looked like he was okay, but that was one of those deals where he was grimacing intensely after that.
I mean, the games are intense and they're fast and they're physical. The one thing I will say about Josh, sometimes he's afraid to shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, and he wants to, he's a mid-range shooter.
He's also a guy who just careens towards the basket.
Yeah, exactly, but a couple times he gives up the ball way too early, and if he would just turn around to the basket's right there. But I think he just thinks that he's not big enough sometimes to go against the guys that are in the paint. But look, I can't argue with anything that I saw last night, especially as you pointed out earlier this morning, the effort.
Yeah, especially on the defensive end.
Yes.
I mean, all night long. Bradley, West Islip, what's going on, Bradley?
Good morning, fellas. What's up?
Hey, Brad, what's happening, Brad? What's going on, brother?
What's up, boys? I want to talk about the Knicks and the minutes these guys are playing. You got to think, as the series progresses, can they sustain these games playing 40-plus minutes? And I don't know if they could really, go toe-to-toe with Boston if they keep putting up these minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. Jaylen Brown played 45 minutes. Derek White played 44 minutes. Jason Tatum played 44 minutes. Drew Holiday played 39 minutes. I mean, that's... That's what they're all going to play. Bridges is out there for 51 minutes. He's a freak of nature. Look how thin he is. Got no body fat.
He plays every game.
I mean, he is like Plastic Man out there.
Yeah. I mean, and the, you know, you get a couple of days in between the games. Not like you're playing back-to-backs. I mean, it's just, you got to play your guys for crying out loud.
Jaylen Brown, 1-for-10 from three.
There's my ex post, everything the last night. Sorry
you
for
did
everything.
That? I didn't see that.
I'm sorry.
Like, who cares?
What do you mean?
You just felt like you had to put that out there?
Yeah, I mean, you put out a lot of crap, way more than I do, that nobody cares about. What is this? Why does this one bother you?
I don't know. What time was that?
When the game ended?
Okay. All right, good. I'm glad you respect Mikal Bridges.
You really want to play that game?
No.
Okay.
No, but you had 36,000 views.
I really don't understand your criticism of that. Who cares? I mean, you post so much garbage about hockey when you're drunk. That's what people don't care about.
But that's different. That's entertaining.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Were you drunk last night?
No, I was not.
All right.
Nope, I was drunk during the show if we didn't do the Casamigos shot. Tom's calling from Staten Island. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, Boomer Geo. Good morning. How you guys doing?
What's up?
Good morning. Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about last night in the Knicks, of course. I was at MSG for the watch party, man. It was some experience. I still have no voice. But I just want to talk, you know, just a little bit about the entire series going forward. Do you feel like the Knicks only have a shot if Boston shoots like they did last night? I mean, you got to think, I mean, the Knicks clamped up on defense in that, you know, that second half, especially in the fourth quarter. Do we really think the Knicks have a fair shot going forward?
So you got to think of it like this too, Tom. I mean, they also won this game, the Knicks, with they were terrible at the free throw line. So that could happen again if Mitchell Robinson gets there as much as he does. And also, they got barely anything out of Karl Anthony Towns. Big tip in towards the end of the game. So we could play that on both sides. Where do you think that, you know, the Knicks are going to get that amount of production, tiny amount of production from Towns? Are they going to be that bad from the free throw line? No, I still think that if the Celtics shoot better than that, the Knicks could still win. But you're not going to see them shoot that bad again.
I'm just telling you, remember, it's a big injury. The Sam Hauser injury, the ankle injury is a big injury. I don't know how severe it was. You know, those of us who have turned, we've all, you know, twisted our ankles. We've all, you know, left games, and, you know, it didn't look good. That is a huge loss for them. That's a big part of their depth. He averaged, like, I think, like 22 minutes a game. So that's a big loss for them. And then, of course, Kristaps Porzingis not playing in the second half because of illness. And you were saying that this thing has been lingering with him?
Yeah, so this is a quote back when he returned to the lineup after the illness on March 15th. It was extremely, extremely frustrating not knowing what I had. I haven't been this sick probably ever in my life. After each workout, I was boom, big crash, really fatigued, not normal. So that, you know, that went on for a while. So could this be that again? I don't know. It's just something to keep an eye on.
And that, I'm telling you guys, that is those two players. That's the break the Knicks need. You don't want anybody to be sick or hurt. But I mean, you talk about what happened to the Knicks last year with all the guys that got hurt and OG Anunoby and Julius Randle and everybody out. And then ultimately, you know, Jalen Brunson gets hurt in the last game. I mean, that's part of the attrition of the playoffs. And if those guys are out, that is a huge bone for the Knicks. And by the way, the Knicks were outscored bench points 24-14.
Yeah, which is actually not that bad of a disparity.
Peyton Pritchard, you know, he came off the bench and he did. He had 3 3-pointers.
Did you get a jersey and put it in the freezer, by the way?
I did not, no.
I was hoping that you put the Porzingis jersey in the freezer and he leaves with illness. So what is that? That is perfect.
No, I wouldn't give any credit for that. What I hope for is a guy, you know, to have an off night or two, you know?
Okay.
Turn the puck over, you know, miss a free throw at the end of the game, that kind of thing.
All right. So nothing from Fanatics, huh?
Coming today.
Oh, today. Okay.
Oh, you know what? Now it's coming. Now it's after the fact.
Well, it's before game two. We got plenty of time.
Okay.
Is it Porzingis or is it Pritchard?
Not sure.
That would suck if you put it in the freezer.
Could be Jaylen Brown. Put him in there. If he's banged up like you say he is.
Well, I didn't say that. Reggie Miller was really alluding to the fact that, like, he didn't look right. I didn't see it as much because I'm not watching as many games, Celtics games, as Reggie Miller is, but I mean, he was.
Well, Reggie Miller's up close and personal. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, he's right there. He's talking to the coaches, talking to the players.
He would know. Patrick in East Brunswick, what's going on, Patrick?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just got to say, I think Jaylen Brown at halftime got in Jalen Brunson's face and called him a flopper. I think that really lit a fire under him. I think Jaylen Brown took that personal.
Okay.
I mean, Jaylen Brunson took that personal and just went off.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that is a reputation that he's got with these opposing teams, players, and fans. And, you know, they were chanting flopper in Detroit. You saw Duren of the Pistons last series in slow motion say, "You flopping MF-er." So, yeah, this is a thing. I don't know if that lights a fire under him or not. I mean, he's just really good, whether people are criticizing him or kissing his butt. Jaylen Brunson just...
Oh, I would just say, hey, you got a Y in your name and I don't. Shut up.
Yeah, hit him where it hurts.
Yeah.
Anthony in Bridgewater. What's going on, Anthony?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. First off, I got a couple points, but just let me say this real quick. I called last week and said Mikal Bridges sucks. I'll swallow my pride a little bit today. I guess just with all the picks, I just want him to be a little more consistent, but he played a hell of a game last night on defense. That play he made to save the ball and get that possession and what they scored was a great defensive play, one of the greatest defensive plays for the Knicks in the playoffs, I think, like in the history. So I'll swallow my pride on that. Just 2 points real quick. My God, the Celtics, the first quarter, they're driving the ball by the Knicks, getting every guy in foul trouble. Then after that, they decide to just bomb away 93s. Thank you, guys. Do that again the rest of the series, please. And the third thing, just real quick. I'm a little nervous about Mitchell Robinson in these games because I think the Pistons really exposed his hack and Robinson. And it just kills all the momentum that the Knicks get in these games a little bit. I know they don't have enough fouls to do with the whole game, but my God, do you guys think that, like, the risk-reward with him in the game...
What are you going to do when Karl Anthony Towns is on the bench as much as he was last night with the fouls? I mean, this is the way the team is built. You know, when Towns is out like that, you're going to get Mitchell Robinson out there for a longer amount of time. You know, I think Precious Achiuwa got 5 minutes last night.
Yeah, but they won with Precious in the lineup.
Yeah, they definitely
did. That's the thing. You know, like, I mean, only had a couple of rebounds. He had one offensive breakdown where Josh Hart threw him a give and go, but to be serious for a second, I mean, the foul situation with Karl Anthony Towns gave Mitchell 21 minutes, and when he's on the court, especially when it's at the end of one of these quarters, they're going to be fouling and hacking him left and right.
Yeah.
And I mean, and he is so far off, it is not even, I mean, it's not even funny.
I mean, it's painful. Because you know the result every time. You're shocked if he actually makes one of them. But because they do that, you know, they're racking up fouls themselves and putting guys in situations.
Right, plus he was a plus 13 last night. If that means anything.
Yeah, well, it certainly does. I mean, because he's out there doing other things and tangible things that help the team win. But if I'm, you know, Mitchell Robinson, I don't know how much he practices this. I don't know if it even helps or not at this point. But it really is incredible that someone can be that bad at free throw shooting.
You know what it reminds me of a guy who just hits home runs, bats like 205 and hits like 40 home runs,
like an Adam Dunn.
Yeah, that kind
like
of guy.
A Joey Gallo.
Yeah,
that type, I mean, of
like,
guy.
Nobody cares that he strikes out, or like, you know, when Edwin Diaz is on the mound and they steal second and then they steal third because nobody cares.
Yeah defensive indifference.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it just, do you think he, like, after the game goes to the free throw line and just practices?
I just think if the Knicks could have moved him, they would have.
I mean, I was calling for that in the offseason.
But they couldn't. He was hurt.
Yeah, I know. But he still can make big plays for them when it counts. It didn't end up hurting them to the point where they lost the game last night. But, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a strategy. But also, you know, Karl Anthony Towns doesn't rack up three fouls in a blink of an eye, and Mitchell Robinson isn't out there at that point. But that was really when the Celtics kind of took off, was when they got the 20-point lead, or the game sort of really got out of hand for the Knicks for a little bit. It was when Karl Anthony Towns picked up that third foul.
Yep.
He goes to the bench. Robinson comes in. They're doing hack-a-Mitch, and then all of a sudden, things are getting screwed up in the Celtics. That was the best they played.
Yeah, but let's face it. You know, and I'll say this until the day I die, the 3-point, you live by it, you die by it. And last night, the Celtics died by it. All they had to do was continue to drive to the basket, get the fouls, and it would have been a war of attrition in terms of the fouls, and guys would have been sitting on the bench. And instead, you know, their shooting was horrendous. You know, 25% shooting 63s. and missing 45 of them, an NBA record. Mm. It's ridiculous. Now, some of that is Nick defense, don't get me wrong. Some of it was guys missing wide-open shots.
Imagine if they would have lost this game. We'd be coming in here going, they can't beat the Celtics when they missed 48 three-pointers, whatever, 45.
But remember, like, you know, last night when we were texting each other at the beginning, you know, like the first half, like we were just like, of course, Mitchell Robinson is going to the foul line for the Knicks, and it's Peyton Pritchard going to the foul line for the Celtics.
Yeah, it looks a little bit different out there.
It does. I mean, like, and there were so many turnovers, so many missed shots. There were breakaways by Boston, so guys were not hustling back on defense. Mm. But the great thing about it is whatever Tibbs said at halftime, whatever that message was, and guys all of a sudden starting to pick up their game. And I think Boston laid down a little bit because they probably thought they had the game in hand.
I mean, you're up 20 against a team that can't beat you.
And you're throwing up 63s for what reason?
It was insane because that's all they know how to do. I mean, they probably got lazy at that point and just like, this is what that, we
That's do. The point. They got lazy, plus they lost two key players. They lost Hauser and they lost Porzingis. And that's exactly what that's the kind of break that the Knicks need.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is back. He's got all the good stuff from last night up in Boston. What is happening, Jerry?
All right, good morning to you. We are brought to you by ServPro Cleanup, Restoration, and Construction. Visit ServPro.com. I have a series of things I would like to... Next hour.
Okay.
I didn't put them in the system. So we'll talk. We'll start with the Knicks.
Okay, very good.
I was going to start somewhere else, but then we'll do that next hour.
Because
that's how you open up your segment? You're talking about something about you're going to put in there for next hour?
It's called the radio tease, Boomer. You've been at this a long time.
Yeah, a very long time. But I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard an hour long, like an hour ahead.
Oh, I do that every day. I do that. Coming up next hour, I'll have this.
Well, usually at the end of it, not at the beginning of it.
Yeah, well, that's because I forgot to throw them in the system. I did all the editing. I recorded it. I did all the work, except the last step was forgotten because I was talking.
My mistake. I apologize.
Fatso, when you had two things running the other day, wow, a commercial and a promo, did anybody say, hey, Eddie, my mistake, I apologize. Did you play it for yourself? No, your fat fingers couldn't find the button. Or you clicked three buttons at the same time, which is why you screwed up the rejoin. So once in your life, shut your face. Now, I did make a mistake. I did make a mistake. Right, that is true. But that's because I was talking and I got very excited about what I found and I was going to play it for you here.
Oh, okay.
That having been said, guess what's coming up at 8:25?
Oh, good stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, we hope.
Yeah. Hey, hopefully you load that into the system.
Very well, good
stuff. Finish your job.
I'm going to try and do that.
Okay.
But right now I will make you guys very happy as we'll talk about the Knickerbockers.
Mitchell Robinson will be on the ball. White will inbound. It's off to Brown. Bridge is there. They hold it.
Kevin Harlan with the call. I never understand. Like, why would you not have Ian do this series when he just did the Knicks and Pistons?
Yeah, I don't know. I was surprised that it wasn't him, but man, Harlan was on fire.
He was great.
So good. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that.
You know what? You know, I like all three guys, Breen, Ian, and
they're all
and
great.
Kevin Harlan. They're all great, and you know, it doesn't. And I call the analysts, too, by the way.
Yeah, I was just...
I have nothing against any of the analysts. I don't care if it's, you know, a guy who used to dagger our heart here at Madison Square Garden, Reggie Miller. I don't care. He just knows what he's talking about.
No, I didn't mean that. It just seemed like it made sense. Ian's here. The Knicks and Celtics are up and down 95. And then you got Kevin Harlan, a Midwest guy, and you send him here. I just thought it was interesting.
Maybe they're just trying to change it up. I don't know. Who knows?
Whatever. The Knicks hold on. They win 108-105. That was the call courtesy of TNT. Here was Tom Thibodeau. First things first. How about this team winning on the road again? They're now 4-0 in the postseason away from the Garden.
Yeah, it's been, this team has fought all year. You know, it's been a pretty good road team. We've had to endure some things with guys being out. And I think over time that helps you. You know, you build up you know, your mental toughness.
No doubt, as they went in a very tough place last night. Even though Boston's been a better road team, still pretty damn good at home. Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby had 29 apiece. Karl Anthony Towns, 14 points and 13 rebounds. He says, we went out and we battled.
Keep putting ourselves in these type of games, but, you know, I think we've done a great job of just fighting and giving ourselves a chance to win. And, you know, just to put ourselves in a position where we could find a way to leave here tonight with a win is it's all it's about. So.
Those back-to-back threes when it was tied at 91, whew, they were some shots.
Also, you keep you referenced the Mitchell Robinson on the floor. That third foul on Towns, it was a cold joke.
No, you're right. I mean, the other ones were legit. That was terrible.
Yeah, but even the second one with the three-pointer where he leans into him, I mean, come on. I don't know. I just, these guys are killing each other
actually,
out there.
I actually thought it was, oh, I mean.
The third one?
Yeah, but you know.
Didn't even touch him.
How about when the Knicks are ripping the ball out of the hands of the Celtics players?
Fair. Here was Hart. Says, we are a hardened group from that Piston series.
I think y'all saw it took us a little while to figure out how this series is going to be. You know, we got beat with bats for six games, so we brought up bats here, and then I was like, I don't know if we could have been as physical. So,
well, they figured it out, and they were physical enough for sure, and Boston was dreadful from three-point range, 15 of 60, which is interesting because I went back and looked at their finals performances last year against the Mavericks. The first game, they were 22 of 40-something from three. The other four games, though, which they won three of, they're about 25-30%. So it's not crazy.
You know why? Because they just keep hoisting them up.
Yeah, they just didn't shoot as many. They were like 10 for 40 in one game, 12 for 48 in another.
I mean, it's crazy how many three-pointers they shoot. And that's what the games turn into, unfortunately. But, you know, for the most part, if you catch them on an off night like last night, they lose.
Here was Jaylen Brown on the poor three-point shooting.
Some of them felt good. Some of them felt like we maybe forced the issue. And definitely our rhythm and our timing was a little bit off. We got a lot of great looks, but, you know, it may be some truth to that. We got to look at the film and see kind of what happened in that second half.
Way too many. Jaylen Brown was 1 of 10 from 3. Jason Tatum, 4 of 15, 7 for 23 overall. And Derek White, 5 of 16 from 3. Game 2 will be tomorrow night again in Boston. Meantime, in Oklahoma City, the Thunder were leading late, and then all of a sudden they weren't as the Nuggets came back for a win.
10 on the shot clock. Joker for 3. Yes! Denver's made it a one-point game, 115 to 114. 1 minute to go.
And that was Nuggets Radio with the call. Well, they made the plays down the stretch. They wound up winning 121-119. Aaron Gordon with the go-ahead three with 3 seconds to go on the clock, like 2.8, something like that. Here was Gordon post-game, how he saw the game winner as it left his hands.
When I shot it, did I know it was in? I knew it wasn't a miss. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Whatever that means, but he had 22 points, 14 boards, and another one of these all-world type of games from Jokic. 42 points, 22 rebounds as Denver wins at OKC. Tonight you've got two more games. You've got game two with the Pacers and the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Indiana up 1-0, and the Warriors and T-Wolves open up their Western Conference semifinal in Minnesota. Now the baseball story. The Padres did beat the Yankees by the score of 4-3, but even in a loss, we have a Thrivewell player of the game brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion. And his name is Carlos Rodon. Why is that? Because in the loss, 6 2/3 scoreless innings, 3-hit ball. And here he was, how he dealt with the Padres stars.
Yeah, I mean, you know, strong, definitely strong lineup. Some great hitters in that lineup. But, you know, Wells was great tonight, just rolling with them and featured a lot of changeup and just try to get ahead and let the defense make the plays. So they did well.
They did very well, and he did very well, but it came in a loss because the bullpen blew it, as they say. Devin Williams loaded the bases, did record a couple of strikeouts, but again, loaded the bases for Luke Weaver, who needed to come on and be the hero, and he couldn't. Rodon, though, our thriving player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThrivewellInfusion.com. Here was Williams. So this, they had a rain delay. They played through a driving rainstorm at one point. He was out there when it started pouring. Was weather an issue?
No, to be honest with you, I felt pretty good. You know, obviously it started to pick up there while I was on the mound, and I wasn't able to make the adjustment.
No, he wasn't, and then Weaver came in, and he knows things could have been different.
This game offers a lot of different circumstances and results, and this same type of type of night that I'm describing could be successful on a different night, but it just wasn't tonight, and we played a great game.
Well, they did for at least seven innings, and they probably should have won, but they didn't. 4-3 was the final. And then I found, I will tell you, I don't know which pitcher she is referencing here because this was just put into the folder, but I think Susan and BT could have a lunch.
No.
And they could really enjoy them. Well, you know, BT loves the different pitches guys throw.
Oh, yeah.
He loves metrics. Well, at one point, this was Susan last night. Again, not sure who she's talking about. Doesn't matter, but just picture her and BT having lunch together.
He has what they call now a chitter. It's a change-up splitter pitch. As he's decided, he's got a 44% whiff rate on that.
Wow. Wow.
Jeez.
Isn't a chitter, isn't that like a ghost forkball?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Aren't they the same thing?
I've never heard of it.
Whiff rate at 46%?
Yeah, whiff rate.
Oh, it's a splitter and a changeup. It's a chitter.
Yeah, man. That's a new one for me. So
that's
I thought that was kind of
dangerous.
Fun.
Chitter is dangerous, man. Say that five times fast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I just thought of that.
Yeah, not. I know.
How about if you threw a chitter to Jazz Chisholm?
Yeah.
No, yes.
That's a tricky one.
Chisholm scores. That would not be good.
I mean, speaking of BT, he is on the chitter every morning when he gets here.
Is that who that is?
Oh, every morning.
Oh, my God. It bombs away.
Every morning he's on that chitter.
That's a little dangerous. Clark Schmidt will pitch tonight against Michael King on the Fan at 6. Imagine if Clark Schmidt threw the chitter. Good luck saying that fast. Stop with the chitter.
I'm already pushing out the stool.
Oh, dude. Man. Come on.
Anyway, we'll have it on the Fan. First pitch, 7:05. Coverage, 6:25. As for the... sounds like those Celtic three-pointers last night throwing up bombs.
Rick!
Here was the, speaking of bombs, a massive home run from Pete Alonso on the Mets win last night.
1-2 the count. Soto leads off first. And the pitch to Pete. Swung on it. Absolutely crushed. A mile to left field. Gurriel's not even going to turn. Long gone to the seats and left for Pete Alonso. A two-run home run, and the Mets are on the board. They lead 2-1 in the fourth.
That was a home run derby type of home run.
Yes, I would agree. That was a hanging chitter or slow ball, whatever you want to call it. Oh. And he just clobbered it. Yeah.
1 second here, Jerry. Joe's calling from Long Island. What's going on, Joe?
What's up, guys? If Clark Schmidt threw that pitch, they could say, Clark, chitter's full.
Get it?
Yeah, I get it from the
National Lampoon.
Oh, I get it.
Clark.
Christmas Vacation.
Chitter's full. That's pretty good. Pretty clever. Pretty good.
Along with Alonso. That lines up just beautifully.
Yes, it does.
Clark Griswold. Clark Schmidt.
Chitter.
Very funny. Where am I? I don't know. Here was Carlos Mendoza. Did you know that Alonso home run was out off the bat?
Yeah. I mean, off the bat.
You see the reaction
from
the
real left. He didn't even move, you know? So, yeah, man. That's,
he's who's answering?
In.
Who's asking?
Well, you never
that
know. You did major league. It's too high. It's too high. And
that thing was like gone right off the bat. You could hear it.
Yeah, and you could see it. Here was Alonso.
Oh, it's great. It's great. I mean, there's a big part of the ball game where to put us up one. And again, I mean, it's just an unbelievable team win. Great team effort, especially after a tough day yesterday.
Yes, where they lost.
You know what?
The
he's becoming
finale.
The Jalen Brunson of the Mets. Captain Clutch.
Pete Alonso?
Yeah, Captain Clutch.
Well, or Lindor, the two of them. Lindor's been great, too. A three-run homer in the seventh. And by the way, I talk about Alvarez. The way Lindor was able to grab that ball and tag the runner at second base in the ninth inning was pretty impressive as well. So the Mets do win 5-4 despite a lousy eighth inning, but they do get the victory. Tonight you've got David Peterson and Zach Gallen on 880 AM. Mets Odyssey Radio again, a 9:40 PM first pitch. Griffin Canning did go five innings last night, allowed one unearned run. He is 5-1 with a 2.50 ERA to start the season. The Ravens release kicker Justin Tucker. You had the Islanders win the NHL draft lottery. And last night in the Maple Leafs Panthers game, so Toronto goalie Anthony Stolarz,
yes.
I guess looks like a concussion. So he took a wrist or a slapper, I saw it quickly, right off the face mask.
Oof.
Stayed in the game, and I guess one story I read is he probably suffered the concussion on that hit. not the elbow from Sam Bennett.
Yeah, and Sam Bennett was not available for comment.
Right. So that, I believe, that the first one was in the first period, meaning the shot off the face mask. The play with Bennett was in the third period, where he kind of comes across him and hits him. Here was Craig Berube, the Maple Leafs head coach, asked about it.
Bennett hit on Stolarz and...
elbow to the head. Yeah. Clearly. Yeah. Clear as day.
So I believe...
be wondered, there will be a suspension here. I mean, like, I'd want Sam Bennett on my team. But, you know, watching what he did, man, if I were the Maple Leafs, I'd be ticked.
Understood.
And they are.
And they did win the game, by the way, 5-4, but more to come on this story, I imagine, throughout the course of the day, because I do think they took him to the hospital.
Yep.
Because he threw up on the bench.
Mm. Yeah, that is a telltale sign.
Yes.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. What a night for the Knicks.
What a night for the Knicks is true. It's hard to put into words like what Jalen Brunson has meant to this franchise. And I know there are times where, you know, he has an off night or he goes a little bit iso ball. But, man, when they need a shot and he needs to make that shot, I mean, the crossover dribbles, the separation that he gets on his three-point play, I mean, they're on top of him. They know how important he is to the Knicks' success on offense. And even, like, when you go back and watch the Detroit Pistons series and you see how, like, so, like, focused on him they are, and that's exactly what Boston is. And somehow, being the shortest guy on the court, other than when Peyton Pritchard is on the court, somehow he gets his shot off. And that to me is, and I know that there's been a lot of discussion, is this the greatest Nick ever? I mean, everybody just needs to calm down with all that stuff. I mean, like, it still goes back to Walt Frazier. It still goes back to those teams that won the championships. And Walt was great, and I saw Walt, and he was one of my childhood heroes as an athlete.
Yeah, I mean, all this, these conversations are silly right now. I mean, he's in the infancy of his Knicks career, hopefully. He's here for a very long time doing this.
But I just want to say this. Nobody's getting a number 10, so don't ask for it. You're not getting it. It belongs up in the rafters where it is, and maybe someday they'll put Jalen's number up there, but we've been screaming for a point guard for years.
Oh, yeah. You know, when Reggie Miller last night was talking about when Jalen Brunson got Jalen Brown up in the air and they fouled him and got him to the line in the fourth quarter, Reggie Miller was talking about he was basically using Jalen Brunson's game to educate young basketball players. He was talking about it's not just about your primary moves, it's about your counter moves. And that's what Jalen Brunson has. You don't know what he's going to do. He's got so much in his arsenal because he isn't the fastest guy. He isn't the tallest guy. So he has to be deceptive and just keep guys on their toes. And he's better at that than anybody in the league.
Yeah,
he just
is. I just think, you know how Tom Brady made himself into a great football player, great quarterback? Like, you know, when he was drafted in the sixth round, he came out of the combine, the photos, everything. Nothing remarkable at all. Nothing. But what made him remarkable was his growth as a player and as a mature adult man who led his team to numerous Super Bowls. And he carried himself a way that, you know, gave him that greatness. I mean, that's Jalen. Jalen has a lot of, I think, ability, God-given ability. But the one thing that he's missing is the height part of it. But he makes up with it with quickness and his anticipation, and just the inherent basketball knowledge that he has. So, I mean, like, the day that they got him here and the player that he has turned into is one of the great Knick moves of all time, that I will say.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go to Edgar is calling from Long Island. What's going on, Edgar?
Hey, good morning, guys. First time calling. How are you?
Great, Edgar. How are you? What do you got for us?
Oh, I'm super excited. I mean, it's a great morning, even though it looks, you know, like it's going to rain outside, but that's okay. Very, very happy that the Knicks won. I wanted to touch on Mikal Bridges and Jalen Brunson real quick. You know, for all the picks that we gave up for Mikal Bridges, I know a lot of people have a problem with that, but it seems that even though with his up and down season in the playoffs, he seems to, you know, take his game to another level. And when we needed him the most, he's made some of the biggest shots. You know, he's had some of the biggest defensive stops, you know, a couple steals. And last night proved it. I mean, that corner three that Mikal had in overtime was huge. You know, the steal, the game-winning, you know, I guess, steal against Jalen Brown to steal the win was huge.
And he did the same thing in the Pistons series. You know, he had maybe he had a game or two where, you know, he wasn't as engaged. But overall, like, we don't win that series without Mikal Bridges. So I think he's been fantastic so far in the playoffs. And I'm looking for him to continue to keep playing this way. And in regards to Jalen Brunson, I mean, the guy is amazing and clutch. One of the best Knicks players we've had in a long time. He's already top 10, dare I say, maybe top 5 right now. And maybe it's fresh, but still, like, what the guy is doing is absolutely insane. And what I love him, what I love the most about him is that, you know, when it's 5 minutes or less in the game, even if he happens to have a turnover or he has a couple of baskets, it doesn't deter him. It, like, he just keeps looking to help his, and he forgets about any bad plays that he made, and he just makes the right play for the next possession.
Yeah, Edgar, so, I mean, really good call. It's hard to argue with anything that you're saying, and there's so much pressure on Mikal Bridges. I mean, he knows what everybody was saying about him and the Knicks sitting on those picks for so long, then finally striking and trading him away to the Nets and him coming here and having a disappointing year. I mean, people can fold. I mean, look, what James Harden gives you in Game 7s is a direct opposite of what Mikal Bridges gave you in Game 1 yesterday. He was out there. He wasn't coming out of the game. At no point did he look like he was even sweating. I mean, every defensive possession, he's flying around. His arms are in people's faces. He's sprinting
the guys. That's
what
it's going to take. That's what it's going to take, that kind of effort.
Yeah. Right.
It's going to take that kind of effort and, you know, maybe a little more out of Karl Anthony Towns on the offensive side of the ball. That would help. And, you know, stay out of foul trouble. I mean, that would help as well. And then the other thing is helping is, again, the illness with Porzingis. I don't know how long this thing's going to last. And the Sam Hauser injury, that's a big deal, man. You know, every little piece that you can chip away is going to help the Knicks in their quest to upset the Celtics. So that and poor shooting and, I think, lazy basketball on behalf of the Celtics. But then again, you know, Cleveland lost at home.
OKC.
OKC lost at home, and Boston lost at home, all in game one. And I don't know if that's because they all had time off or just because the other teams are a little bit, I don't know, just more in rhythm. I don't know. But there's something weird about how all three teams lost their first game at home.
All right, so the point spread last night when the game tipped off was Celtics -9. Obviously, the Knicks win game one. What do you think that the point spread is for game two with the Knicks and Celtics?
I'm going to say it's got maybe -10.
Yeah, 10. You hit it. So just a little bit more than it was the first time.
It's not shocking. I mean, because they didn't shoot well, and they're hoisting these threes up. And you heard Jalen Brown say it. He goes, we missed a bunch of open threes, which means that, you know, sometimes the Knicks get a little confused on defense. But I don't know.
Hey, if you waited to bet the Knicks in the series, don't do it now because it's come way down. Celtics -370 when they were -800.
Yeah.
The Knicks +295 when they were +660. So don't go and bet it now because that'd be a silly thing to do.
You know, I'm gonna really, I mean, I got to focus on now and Jalen Brown now, because if you're thinking that Reggie Miller is hinting to you that he's got major issues.
He's just not himself. You're saying not himself physically.
Well, that's good.
Physically.
I mean, that's an injury. That's if in fact that's the case.
Well, remember the last regular season meeting, he was not himself, and he only played like 12 minutes.
Does he have a knee?
Yeah, I think. But it's been something that they haven't really talked about in the last few weeks. So.
These are the things.
Lining up.
The ingredients.
The ingredients.
The ingredients
recipe
for a Knick 7-game win.